Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour, April 11, 2019. Many, many topics to cover tonight. The main science topic, this came from a listener, a question about the Tunguska event, which I've talked about before on this radio show. But it's just a little bit different way of posing the question as to what really happened there and how we know and how we can tell and how we can differentiate between the many possible causes of what happened there. But first, a bit of commentary. As you probably know, if you've followed me for more than a short amount of time, I have spent a lot of my time in foreign countries. I've lived in foreign countries. I've taught in universities in foreign countries. I've tutored people, the children of the rich, some of the richest people in the world. I have given personal tutoring in math and science and physics, etc. And I have lived amongst the very poorest people in foreign countries, and I've traveled. I speak language, so I have direct communication with people, is what I'm telling you. There is the issue at the southern border, and it's a critical issue because I talked about this last week, that foreign aid does not get to the people in those countries. It is stolen, it is put in the pockets of rich people, and the United States allows that to happen because there's so much influence in Washington. But I just want to give a new twist, something you probably don't hear on the radio or on the television. The Democrats think that by flooding the country with illegal aliens, that will create a voting base for them in the future. But the reality is, and I talk to people, this is not because I read it in the newspaper, which you wouldn't find this anyway, but I talk to people that are from Mexico. I lived in Mexico for quite a while, a couple of years. Early 1970s. I taught there, I lived there, I traveled there, and I've lived in and been in many Latin American countries. And I have many friends in probably all the Latin American countries. So I know the various opinions, I know the people, the differences, etc. But anyway, this idea that flooding people into the country will create a voter base for the Democrats is false. And that's, they're just grabbing at straws, they're trying to get people in prisons to vote. They're trying to get anybody to vote. They're trying to drop the voting age to 16 because they think they can make inroads into that voting age group to vote for Democrats. They're doing anything they can to eliminate the Electoral College, which would allow New York and California, Los Angeles areas to elect the president. And you would never, ever have a say in the presidential election in the future. But they think that's how they can win because Hillary claims she lost because of the Electoral College. So they're trying anything on the face of the earth, but they're mistaken because the people that come here, and let me explain, let's say there are literally half the country of Mexico is living in the United States, so that's around 50 million people. And there's probably 25 million kids under the age of 5 with those parents living in the United States. So that's close to 75 million people not on the records. But they do not want to see more illegals come into the country because they are working. They got here somehow. They got a job. They got an income. They may be sweeping floors or painting buildings or putting on roofs, or they're doing some kind of job where they've got a niche, they got an in. And it took them a while to get that, and they know that the next wave of illegal immigration is going to undercut them and work for half the price. So they have their living standards set up in the United States, and to think that they're going to vote for the Democrats to allow more illegal immigration in, which will undercut their base and destroy what their gig that they have going here, is a massive mistake. And as soon as the other illegals get here and establish some kind of a base, they're going to have the same opinion. And I have talked to people. I heard a Mexican man who had been here for about 10 years, still illegal, working. He had a business cleaning offices, and he had a number of people working for him, all illegals. And he said, to me one day. I was at a gathering, and this I was talking to him in Spanish, of course. And he said, I don't know how I'm going to survive. The new wave of Mexican illegals are working for half of what I charge. And he was already undercutting the American workers that worked for, you know, normal American wages. He had already undercut and established his business based on undercutting U.S. job pricing. But he was worried because the next wave of Mexican illegals were going to work for half the price that he would. So this idea that those people are going to come here and vote for Democrats who are going to keep this open door policy is fantasy. And in the process, also, it's destroying the American middle class, and especially the American lower class who are trying to build up and get somewhere. It's hard to get a job when somebody is working for no benefits, just for cash, and works for a third or a quarter or a fifth of what you would charge to do the very same work. And it's a myth to think that we would not survive in the United States without illegal immigration. That's a myth brought to you by McDonald's, by Burger King, by Kentucky Fried Chicken, and the big other chains like Walmart or Target, etc., who hire illegals to stock the shelves, sweep the floors, and do other kinds of menial labor, you might call it, but that's they don't have to pay. But this is an interesting twist. With the Trump administration and zero unemployment, these places are now advertising, and I've seen these, where they're paying $12 to $15 an hour for people to stock shelves and clean floors because they cannot get, because everybody's employed. Everybody's employed. So at any rate, it's a strange place, but I just wanted to mention that. Okay, I'm going to go through and race through these topics now. Race-based reparation, you'll be hearing a lot about this. This is being sold to the black community as if you are black, you will get money because the slaves in the United States were black. And I don't know if you've ever been involved in a class action lawsuit. I've been in some. And typically, the only people that make money out of a class action lawsuit are the attorneys. They make millions and millions and millions for their firm. And I remember one class action, I thought, this is when I was young and stupid. I joined one, you get the thing in the mail, little card, you fill it out. I have my receipts for what I did, bought, or whatever. And end up with, like $30. I got a check for $30. That isn't even enough, to take your friends to McDonald's. And this is what's going to happen. They're going to be promising the black community reparations. Number one, you would have to prove that through your lineage, going back 150 years and more, that your ancestors were in fact slaves. And 99.9% of black people today cannot do that. They probably don't know who their grandparents are, let alone going back 150 years. So the idea that the blacks are running around thinking that they're going to get money is fallacy. The idea that they're going to get enough money to go out and buy a house or even a nice car is fallacy. They'll probably, in the end, get a check for $50, which, like I say, is not even enough to take the family out to McDonald's. And the reason this is being done is for votes. And what's humorous is people like Kamala Harris, that's one of the 38 candidates running for president on a Democratic ticket, her immediate ancestors, her immediate grandparents, ran a slave farm in Jamaica, from what I understand. Or I don't know if I have all the details right. But then the question arises, look at myself. I'm the offspring of Irish immigrants. Came from Ireland long after slavery had been abolished. My family did not have slaves, never did, never would. Came to the United States, worked very hard the American way. When I was a kid, we didn't have much. We had food. My father worked until his kids were old enough to kind of take care of ourselves. Then my mother went to work. My dad made 75 cents an hour. We lived in an old house. They bought a house a block away from the two Catholic schools, the grade school and the high school, so we could all walk to school, which we did for our entire career of high school. And I worked my butt off. When the other kids in the spring of my senior year in high school, while the other kids were out goofing around, I was making applications to colleges and getting a full ride to go to college. And I was very serious. I did very well in physics and mathematics. And then I went to college, and I was very serious and worked hard. Then I was able to go to graduate school, where they paid me to go to graduate school because I was a very good student in nuclear and solid-state physics, where I got my advanced physics degree. And then I went out to work in the real world. So nobody gave me anything. I don't see myself as being responsible for slavery. In fact, if you look back at the American population in general, only a very small group of people had slaves, if you go back to the slave days. So are we going to go and then find the genealogy of people now living in the United States and say, your ancestors had slaves, you pay? I don't feel really responsible for the slave trade. Let's go back to the East India Company and the people that made the profit off of basically capturing black people in Africa like animals, putting them in ships under horrific conditions, bringing them to the not only the United States. The trade, the slave trade was worldwide. It came to the Caribbean islands. It came to Latin America, South America. It came to other parts of the world. And those are the people that made the profit. The people who had had slaves in the South, for example, not many people actually had slaves. They were on the plantations, and there were the plantation owners, but the vast majority of people in the southern states did not have slaves. You know, so anyway, this idea of race-based reparation is, to me, very undefined. And now all of these candidates, I saw a thing where the candidates lined up, and one by one, they were at a black caucus, and one by one they said, yes, I support race-based reparations. And the black people are once again being fooled by the Democratic Party. If you want to check in with this narrative that somehow the Democrats are for the blacks, listen to somebody like Candace Owens, who is black and who has shattered the glass ceiling for black people, telling them that, hey, the Democratic Party is about keeping you down on the plantation because that is their base. And that is the base of this whole idea of the government giving something to blacks. The attitude of most black people now that they're working is that they want to build something. They want to work for it. They want to get something. And they don't want to be given something. But also, don't be fooled by the idea that you're going to get this big sum of money in the mail from the big government race-based reparation program. You're not. Most people, most blacks, will not get a dime. And the ones that do, like I say, they might get $50. And when they get it, they're going to go, wait a minute, I thought I was supposed to get a lot of money. Well, that's the Democratic Party for you. They promise a lot and don't give anything. But it's, once again, to buy votes from people with a false promise. And I might add, too, that the Irish, when they came to the United States, were not exactly treated nicely. When they came to Boston or they came to the East Coast, they were really downtrodden. But they dug themselves up. My ancestors went out to western Minnesota to begin farming. They worked hard. Some of them lost their farm in the debacle of the Depression of the 1930s and picked themselves up. When I was little, a lot of my friends lived in what we called basement houses. They couldn't afford to build a house, so they literally lived in a basement. And we lived in an old, old creaky house that we tried to keep buttoned up in the wintertime, and everybody survived and learned how to live and manage. But there was, this idea of white privilege is simply a myth. The vast majority of people in the United States that are adults today built what they have today, not because of privilege, but because they worked. And that's the simple story. When I was little, I didn't have it any better than, in fact, I had it a lot worse than a lot of people today, by today's standards. But I worked hard. I brought myself up. My parents never thought we would go to college. Never in a million years. But it was because I worked hard, I studied hard, I went and I spent my time that I went to college and I am where I am today. The other thing about reparation just in general is that then you start this trend, then what about, maybe the Irish could say we were maltreated, had low wages when we came to the United States. We should get reparations too. Well, the Irish aren't saying that. And what they do is they have St. Patrick's Day, and on that day, everybody gets to be Irish, no matter what color, what shape you are, no matter what. Everybody gets to be Irish. That's the Irish answer to whatever. But, you know, this idea of reparations that somehow we owe future generations or current generations because of something that happened in the past, you're entering some really muddy water there. And it opens up a huge can of worms. And once again, this is simply being done to buy votes for the Democrats, because if they don't do these desperate acts, they're not going to even come close to being elected ever again. Just a quick comment on Easter. Here we come up to this wonderful Christian holiday of Easter, celebrating the death and then the resurrection of Christ. And this is a major Christian holiday, but once again replaced by an Easter bunny that lays colored eggs. Just like Christmas, the birth of Christ was replaced with a little fat man dressed in red that comes down your chimney and gives everybody presents, which we all know you buy and put under the tree and pretend that Santa Claus put them there. And then, of course, the major holiday of the year for the United States, Thanksgiving, being replaced as the major shopping day of the year. So anyway, my point is that if you can convince the public that their most sacred religious holidays be replaced by a rabbit that lays colored eggs and a little man that is fictitious, that comes from and lives at the North Pole, you can probably convince them of pretty much anything. Here's on the health scene. Brussels turns out to be the first city in the world to halt the installation and propagation of 5G telephone service for health reasons. Brussels in the news, where the Brexit decision, whether England will leave the European Common Union or not, will be held in Brussels. So the 12th, which is in, 2 days, the decision apparently will be made by people who are not even English. So the Brexit fiasco goes on. But technically, they were supposed to leave the European Union on the 29th of March. Then they extended a little bit. So they're trying everything they can do to hold off telling the British people that your economics is going to go south. You know, no, I don't think so. England has the central bank of the world. The Vatican Rothschild banking system comes out of England. I don't know if you're aware of that. The Queen is not the Queen just because she's a nice lady, which there again is questionable in all of the rigmarole that goes around the royalty of England. But they are there because they represent the bank, the Rothschild Bank of the world. That's where that comes from. The banks of China, Shanghai, Japan, of the United States, the Federal Reserve of the United States, etc., all come out of England. So to think it's the other way around. The European Union depends more on England than England does on the European Union. And as soon as England leaves, it's going to be a cascade domino effect. All of the other countries will leave also, realizing that they're tired of a group of people that they don't even know, that they didn't elect, that they have nothing to do with deciding what goes on in their country. Okay, on to the next topic. The Grand Canyon is 100 years old. I think today, I don't know what the exact anniversary is, but just a comment on how the Grand Canyon formed. There's people running around, jumping up and down to try and copy my work that say that this was a electrical discharge from outer space that carved out the Grand Canyon. Well, let me explain something. There are canyons all over Earth. There are some on Mars, our sister planet, which is the most Earth-like planet. And these are due to, in the case of Earth, the Grand Canyon, this is due to underground water systems. And what happens is, in fact, I was just at a location in a foreign country where there was a formation exactly like the Grand Canyon. And right there, and exactly right there, is a waterfall that goes down into the canyon. And here is what happens. I'll explain the process. And I'm going to preface this by saying that ants and tree trunks and tree roots formed the Grand Canyon. You're going to go, what? What's he talking about? Okay, here's what happens. When the rain comes, and I've flown over the Grand Canyon. I've been at the Grand Canyon on all around the edges, and I've flown over it all the way up to the edges. And it's a crack in the ground is what it is. Okay, but here's what happens. The water comes from another source, and there is a river that flows through the Grand Canyon. I hope most of you have noticed that. And so what happened in prehistoric times is that river found a path down into the ground. And this happens, it can happen because of ants making a hole digging into the ground, or it can happen because of tree trunks. And you see this all the time if you're familiar with down in the American South, what they call a holler. A holler is a carved out region, and they're like kind of dikes sticking out from the base of a mountain. What happens is the water comes down, finds a tree root or something, and starts going down into the mountain in a slight valley that comes off the side of a mountain. The water goes down, and it finds a way. It keeps tunneling and tunneling and tunneling until it finds a way out down below, far away. And so once it finds that, it starts eroding, and then you get heavy rains, etc. And it carves out this underground tunnel, which eventually collapses. And once that collapses, then the land on top keeps washing away and washing away and washing away as it continues to collapse. Go to Bryce Canyon. You can see the canyon walls, and you can see where the material has dropped down. I've talked about this on my radio show. Bryce Canyon, I think it's in Utah. But at any rate, the Grand Canyon is the same. So that's what formed the Grand Canyon. And if it were due to an electrical discharge of some kind, this massive discharge from outer space, which we have had, you would find glass beads. Now, there are places on Earth where you can find fields of glass beads due to the electrical discharge heating up the silicates and creating glass beads. You find them on Mars. They call them blueberries on Mars. But there are small glass beads that form, and then they're basically blown up into the air, and before they hit the ground, they've cooled, and they form in the surface tension of the liquid. Hot liquid pulls it together in the form of a ball and forms glass beads. And there are none, believe me, I've been to the Grand Canyon, I've been all around it, and you do not find the massive amount of glass beads that you would find. You find it in places where there are impact craters, like Winslow, Arizona. The famous Winslow, Arizona impact crater has glass beads, and molten metal even. Molten metal beads are common around that area, and we know that that was a high impact, high energy, high temperature impact, and it formed glass and other types of beads material. So at any rate, that's a little bit. But the Grand Canyon, 100 years old, I believe today. I might be wrong about the exact day. Here's a fun fact. Your children will be driving electric cars and will never, if they're little, they will have never, when they grow up, they will have never driven a petroleum based automobile. Electric cars are coming. The major automobile makers in the United States, Ford, Chevy, etc., in a couple of years are coming out with 26 lines of electric, pure electric, not hybrids, pure electric vehicles. This is the future. And most countries know this. The Mideastern countries like Dubai, etc., are investing in alternative energy, but of course in ridiculous alternative energy like solar panels and three-blade wind turbines, which don't work. And I'll be talking about a company that just went under in a minute. But your children will probably never drive a petroleum-based powered car. They will only have driven electric cars. Now, if you get a chance, go on the internet and search out articles about people that are driving E-Formula or Formula E automobiles, race cars. And these cars have such high performance that it's a whole different experience than driving a petroleum-based Formula One race car. And those, of course, the highest performance automobiles on the planet. But the Formula E, they actually have to limit them. There's software in the car that can that limit them to a certain amount of acceleration, a certain amount of top speed. And I just read where one car, I forget which automobile it is, had the fastest, this is the fastest, most powerful automobile, goes from 0 to 60 miles an hour in 2 seconds. Now that's cruising. I don't know if I'd even want to be in a car like that. But, you know, that's what electric cars can do. But the caveat is that if you have an electric car, it's being powered from nuclear, coal, or natural gas power plants. Or if you live on an island, probably number two fuel oil being burned in a electric generation plant to then put the electricity into your car. But the problem is that is a far less efficient process than just putting gasoline in your car and burning it at the same time. So if you think you're being green driving around in your electric automobile, have another thought, because it's a very inefficient process. But the savior here is the wing generator. The JMCC wing generator is coming, and it will be there, and it'll be powering. You will be converting wind efficiently and at a very low cost into electricity, and that's how we will have transportation, including airlines, in the near future. So your children will probably never see a petroleum-based automobile. I have to speed up here because I have so many topics. Okay, this past week, and by the way, I watch Tucker Carlson a lot. Tucker Carlson Tonight is the show. It's on Fox News. It's probably one of the most informative shows. He has so many different topics, but here's one I just wanted to relay. The other night he talked about, he had an author on who wrote a book called Disconnected. So if you have kids, get this book. It's called Disconnected. And it's about video games, the video games that kids play, and the addictive nature of these games. And they finally have psychological studies where they've done brainwave studies, etc. And they say that the same effect as hardcore drugs, heroin and other types of drugs, occur in the brain when kids sit in front of these games for hours and hours and hours, some of them days without end, sitting up all night playing these video games. And I have seen this, and not only kids, but adults. Adults are being trapped by this. They say that their attention span goes completely out the window. And they sit in school, they can't pay attention, their only thought is to get home and get back at that video game. This is a crisis. The youth of this country, primarily the United States, I don't know if this is common around the world, it probably is, that they are addicted to video games, and it is a serious mental issue because it is an addiction. It's synapses, the drugs, the enzymes, etc., that go into the brain and basically turn it off and destroy the attention span. The same effect happens with video games. And there's some that are extensively more addictive than others. But anyway, this book called Disconnected, I would recommend it if you're a parent. And I tell people, too, get your kids out of public school. I know lots of people that homeschool their kids, and those kids are disciplined, they're smart, they're really happy, they're way advanced over the school kids that go to public school or even private schools. So anyway, kids today, this is a big issue. And here's another issue about kids, by the way. Schools now are telling kids that the earth is going to end in 12 years, that we only have as a race, as a civilization, as an entity in the universe, there is only 12 years left. And they're telling kids this based on the false and demonstrably false issue of, I don't know what they're calling it now, it's a global climate change, etc. It's horrific. And I always say this, even if people believe, even if you are a staunch believer, promoter, whatever, of the idea of global climate change, look back over the 30 years that people have been jumping up and down and talking about this. What good has it done? We do not have less usage of nuclear, coal, natural gas, and petroleum. We have much more use. It has not accomplished a single thing. So realize that this has always been a political football, and the whole goal was to put some carrot out there 30 years in the future that everybody jumps up and down about when the real issues never get discussed. The real issue is we shouldn't be burning coal, nuclear, and natural gas and petroleum for transportation. We never should have been doing this. But at any rate, telling school kids that the earth is going to end, in other words, before they become adults, the civilization, the human race is going to come to an end. Absolutely absurd. Now, there's nobody on the planet Earth who has not heard this story about NASA and a league of 200 astronomical stations around the world coming together. And I believe tomorrow afternoon, Friday afternoon, they're going to make an announcement claiming they have seen a black hole. They're going to have a picture of a black hole. But when you listen to the announcements, the very last thing they say is that, first of all, during the announcement, they say that there is universal agreement amongst astronomers that black holes exist. But then at the very end, they say, maybe this photo will prove to astronomers that black holes exist. So once again, we have the Mutual Admiration Society voting on a concept in the astronomical community. Let me name a few others. How about the Oort cloud, the alleged cloud where alleged dirty snowball comet models allegedly form? You can never detect it, never could detect it, even if you were out in the region of the Oort cloud, which is light years from our sun. You could never detect it because it's so dispersed and so rarefied that you could never see it all at once. So it's literally impossible to detect. But it's in every textbook on astronomy. I know. I used to teach astronomy at the university level, and I had to teach this garbage, and then at the end tell the students that this couldn't possibly be true and explain why. Okay, so at any rate, I kidded with some people that wrote in about this. I said what they're going to have is a black background with a black dot in the middle. So what they are, and by the way, they always do this. They do it on the Friday afterwards or the Thursday evening after my show. And they do this so they can have blanket coverage through the weekend and everybody universally will see this garbage. So what they're vying for, let me tell you, is a Nobel Prize. Some kind of a team Nobel Prize dealing with general relativity and cosmology and the Big Bang and black holes, which literally you can never detect a black hole because allegedly, according to general relativity, all the material, including light, is sucked into the black hole. So all you can see are the so-called effects around the event horizon. The event horizon, which is just outside of the black hole. But there are other causes for these phenomena. So they're not taking that into account. They're not telling you they can never see a black hole by definition. So to state that they are having a picture of a black hole is patently false. So this is astronomers trying to beat their drum, get funding, and that's also what this is about. is because they've used telescopes and radio telescopes around the Earth to put these together and claim that they have seen a black hole. So anyway, you're going to get bombarded with this, and it's a bunch of baloney. So anyway, and it's going to be a big nothing burger. But once again, you know, I can tell you something. People are really tired of standard science. It's baloney science, and I think people realize that, even though they might not have a PhD in astronomy and astrophysics, they somehow detect that this is kind of like, you know, that's nice for History Channel, but they go on, and that's why people are not interested in science, because it's just ridiculous, and people are not interested in this. Okay, on to another topic. The hurricane prediction is beginning for this year. The National Hurricane Prediction Center, Colorado Springs, or no, it's in Boulder, Colorado, has made their prediction, and it's not worth repeating because it's the equivalent of saying between now and Christmas, it could snow or it might not snow. That's the equivalent of their prediction. It's absolutely absurd. But anyway, this was denied by William Gray, who was the scientist that over a 20-year period developed all the techniques that they're still using. And one day he got up with his right-hand man at the Hurricane Prediction Center and said, nothing we have done is valid. This science is not valid, and it has to stop. This idea of somehow predicting hurricanes with this statistical method, saying, well, because there's a weaker El Nino this year, then we predict 5 hurricanes instead of 6. These people get paid for this. Teams and teams of people get paid for this complete absurdity, which has been thoroughly denounced by the guy who developed it and quit. He had scientific integrity, which I used to criticize William Gray all the time. And he had enough kahunas to stand up and say that this is bogus. Anyway, you're going to get bombarded by this in the news too. Once again this year, the hurricane prediction, there's about 10 groups out there now doing this baloney science. So you will get bombarded in the next weeks because it's the hurricane season starts in June, runs to November. So you will be lambasted with this in the standard news media. It also proves a point too that if you want a narrative and you want scientists to build this narrative, you can pay scientists and they will say anything you want. If you wanted to talk about the moon being made out of green cheese, you could find scientists that would go out there and pound on the table, stand up on the soapbox and pound on a big drum saying the moon is made out of green cheese. You would find people, and then you could say, there's universal agreement that the moon is made out of green cheese because all of these fine scientists here say the same thing. Just a quick note here on Clapper was on the news. He was on CNN, and both him and Brennan have now tossed the whole Russia hoax thing up to Obama, claiming that Obama ran the whole thing from the White House, directed them to gather this information and hand it all up to Obama. So the the rats are bailing from the ship. That's very fun to watch. The whole Russian hoax thing was masterminded, operated, and managed by Obama. And by the way, if you've been following this, this actor guy in Chicago who staged a false flag attack on himself and then was exonerated by this lady Fox, the attorney for Chicago. It turns out that this was an Obama deal too. And Michelle Obama made the call to this Fox lady to say, let him go. Jesse or Smoltz, well, I don't know what this guy's name is. I don't even care. But this was a deal set up by the Obamas. And that's why they let him go, because if they started digging into this guy in court, it could lead right back to the old Obama, you know, Michelle and and what's his name, Junior Obama there, the ex-pres, the kind of pres, the Gulf, we could call him the Gulf president because he played golf so much. But that's what happened there. This was a Obama deal to try and create a race crime done by alleged Trump supporters. A company called Cervion from Germany, wind turbine manufacturer, is going bankrupt. They're in debt up to their, more than their eyeballs, about $1 billion worth of debt. And the reason they're going belly up is because there's no more government subsidies. They ran their business on government subsidies. Siemens and General Electric are probably going to follow one day, but it's like one of those other things, the small fish die first in the when the lake doesn't have any oxygen, the little fish die first. So that's what's going on here. The GE and the Siemens will probably take a bit longer, but they can also supplement their three-blade wind turbine monster fiasco industry based on supporting it from backdoor money from the other part of their company. And the whole purpose of the three-blade wind turbine, along with solar panels, was to provide a so-called alternative energy solution that was not a solution, that would never compete, because GE and Siemens' primary their primary marketing, their primary product, is in central power companies, the big generators, the maintenance of those. Look on the GE webpage when it comes to electrical generation. You'll see that wind is a little teeny pimple on the butt of GE. And, you know, it was never meant to compete with their main business, and that's the same for Siemens. Siemens is the German version of General Electric. A couple of big stories here in the space world, outer space. A company, this actually went down this afternoon, although I did not have time to really look at this and analyze it, so I'm not going to comment on this show, about Space IL, it's called. It's a Israeli-based private company funded by Google that is landing on the moon. And anyway, I'll go into more detail on next week's show as I analyze what is actually going on here. But also, as part of this, winning an X Prize for the landing on the moon being a private company. And there was an X Prize to land on the moon, but that prize expired. It went basically went dry because nobody was complicit. But the X Prize created the X Prize Foundation through Ansari, who is the guy that funded the Burt Rutand, Richard Branson, Spaceship One, Ansari X Prize, where Burt Rutan went into space within 1 week with the spacecraft and won $10 million. So there's $1 million purse on this. And this is a very exclusive clubhouse of X Prize winners. And I happen to be in that clubhouse. Very proud to say that. I won the 2018 Technology Innovation Achievement Award from XPRIZE for the wing generator coupled with the atmospheric water generators, which are part of my product line. So anyway, just a little hurrah there. But next week I'll give some more analysis, because this is a very complicated topic if you look at it in depth. And so anyway, that's next week. Also in the news are space hotels. In the next year or two, two space hotels are going to be launched, and they're going to become available for a pretty good price tag. So if you got some serious dough and you don't know where to go, you're tired of going to Tahiti or Hawaii and the Bahamas, you might consider going into outer space to a space hotel. And you would stay up there for a period of 12 days, experience weightlessness, be able to see the Earth rotating around underneath you, and then come back. So anyway, that's the plan. So space tourism is beginning. And once again, that was initiated, a lot of the interest there was initiated by the XPRIZE back in the, the first one. And also Elon Musk was vying for that, but he did not make it in time. Burt Rutan beat him to the punch, so to speak. But then all of these companies are moving forward with space tourism. And so that's a huge multi-billion dollar industry. Recently, in fact, this Space IL launch from that's going to the moon, or went to the moon, was launched by a Elon Musk Falcon 9 rocket, all private space. So very interesting, something I'll be following in the future. And I have a foot in the space program. I always have. It's just that I, you know, more about that in the future. Just a quick note, Cory Booker, this guy running for president, on the one of 38 people in the Democratic Party, is a Rhodes Scholar. And whenever you see Rhodes Scholar, boom, big red light should be flashing in your brain. Just like Bill Clinton and a whole laundry list, about 7,000 people very high up in Washington, are Rhodes Scholars. Rhodes Scholars. Cecil Rhodes, you can look this up, Cecil Rhodes' intent in having Rhodes Scholars, where they go around the United States and pick people that they want to run the United States. The express purpose is to bring the United States back into the fold of the Commonwealth of the British Empire. That is Cecil Rhodes' intention, stated intention. And so when you see somebody like Cory Booker, that's the goal. These people have legal immunity. They can do whatever they want. They can break the laws. And in the whole, I couldn't even begin to name all the people that are Rhodes Scholars that are big in the, especially in the Democratic Party. But anyway, and in Washington in general. So when, like I say, when you see somebody like Cory Booker, Rhodes Scholar, big flashing red light, this guy's intentions are to take down the United States. That is his goal, although he'll never, of course, say that. He's, you know, but that's the situation. Just a quick mention on the wing generator is for sale, the 10, the 25, and the 50 kilowatt models. If you're interested, if you have a farm, ranch, or other industry that's out in a remote area, or an eco-village, or some place that needs energy, in those quantities. This is not a house. This is not a suburban house application. I also have as applications electric vehicle, EV, electric car charging stations, and the reverse osmosis water systems up to very large sizes, down to very small sizes. Also the water from the air machines, of course, that I used in the XPRIZE, and other applications like water filtration on a commercial scale, all operated from the wind. So if you're interested, go to my webpage, jmccsci.com, short for jmccsci.com, but seven letters, jmccsci.com, and send me an email. There's an email address at the top of the page, and we'll get back to you. Those are now, we're working on orders for those right now, those sizes. And in the future, working to get much larger sizes from 10 megawatts up to 25 megawatts and eventually up to 100 to 200 megawatts. Okay, just a quick note on water. This past week, a new study out talking about the deplorable condition of water in the United States. So just horrific situation. And I've said this before in the show, cancer has overtaken heart disease as the main cause of death for adults. And if you look at this, what that means is you will die from cancer before you get old enough to die from what they call heart disease. In other words, your heart fails. So, but anyway, the specific article that I'm quoting here comes out of The Guardian, and this is sent in by a listener. It's April 8th, 2019. It says, U.S. unsafe water crisis, unite Americans. But I'll just quote a couple things here, and you can go to The Guardian and read this. But it talks about 21 million Americans get water from systems that violate health standards. The reporting by The Guardian shows that at least 33 major U.S. cities have skirted water quality testing in much the same vein as Flint in the state of Michigan. And so this is not just in and around cities. It's in the country where glyphosates have polluted the water tables And there are companies, 3M, that have been caught, who else, Westinghouse Electric, dumping chemicals into just into the ground, into a hole in the ground, and causing, you know, they start to investigate because so many people in the area are getting cancer. But anyway, also a lot of people don't understand is when you are taking a shower, you're actually showering in a chemical soup. That hot spray, that mist that's in the air, you're breathing that in. That's got fluoride, that's got chlorine, that's got a whole laundry list of chemicals. It's getting on, you're showering in it. Your skin is the biggest absorber organ on your body. It's your skin, and it absorbs. We used to do a thing like this. I think you would rub, I think this is how it would work. You'd rub garlic on the bottom of the person's foot, and then you would smell the top of their head like 5 seconds later, and you could smell the garlic. That's how fast your skin absorbs and transfers in your body. So if you are showering in chemical soup, it's going into your body, it's in your organs. It's no wonder that people are dying from cancer. You are just immersed, breathing and on your skin and showering in a chemical soup. I sell whole house filters, and I should be selling a lot more of them, but at any rate, there is a solution. But just horrific, the situation with water in the United States. And I've been to places in the world where you drink the water just coming right out of the hills. It's mineralized water. It's very good water. You, of course, have to filter it a little bit. But excellent water, and the people in these regions are healthy. They typically don't get cancer. Cancer is not a big issue. So anyway, okay, on to the... just one last point about fascism in the United States. Fascism is where a small vocal group gains power, and that is happening in the United States right now. And it comes down to something called voter cheating. It's a major problem. I talked about this before, and it's going to be a big problem in the upcoming 2020 election. Because there's some people, the only way they can win is to cheat. And this is happening, by the way, very clearly at the local precinct level. And it's in only a few places in the United States, about 10 major places, including Oregon, Washington, the Oakland Bay, San Francisco area, and around Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Denver, Minneapolis, Madison, Wisconsin, the big cities in Michigan, the big cities in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, and Florida, massive cheating going on there, which they actually caught, and then some of the new northeastern states, including New York. So anyway, fascism is on the rise in the United States, not to mention in the news media. Okay, so on to my main science topic, and by the way, this is why I'm glad I have my paid cast. Because every week you get a deep dive into scientific topics, and I go right into that topic nonstop for an hour, $3.95. I suggest that people subscribe to that. And this month, April, I'm talking about my ebook, Water. Very important topic, very misunderstood topic. Okay, so this email came in from a listener. Okay, first I'm going to read the email. It says, Dear Professor McCanny, based on your discussion of the Tunguska event, this is up in Siberia, Russia, a big massive explosion of some kind, I think it was in 1905, flattened the area for hundreds of miles around. Okay, so anyway, it says, Dear Professor McCanny, based on your discussion of the Tunguska event in some of your radio appearances this year, I have a question for you. Where did the energy come from for the Tunguska event? Is it explosion, discharge of 1908 was the year. Did the energy come from the Earth's ionosphere? These go in A, B, C, D. It says, where did the energy come from? The Earth's ionosphere, from an electrical charge found on the nucleus of a passing comet, from an electrical charge in the coma of a passing comet, from a discharge involving the sun's entire electric field, out to the distant planet beyond Pluto, or some other energy source. Okay, so I would like to include here Jupiter. And so for that reason, we have had electrical discharges come to Earth detected by military satellites, electric streams from Jupiter. In other words, we got caught up in the overall electrical discharge of Jupiter and the solar electric field. But there are some underlying, what you might call, if you were an investigator, you might be able to look at all of the details regarding the Tunguska event and make a determination here. Now, could it have been any of these? Well, yes, it could have. But when we get a, say, for the just from the Earth's ionosphere, it's typically not enough energy coming from the Earth's ionosphere. The Earth's ionosphere gives us enough for average lightning or the powering of tornadoes or the powering of hurricanes. And none of these are on the scale, I mean, not even close to on the scale of the Tunguska event. The Tunguska event was something like 173 Hiroshima bombs. Just an immense, immense amount of energy. I talked about this on a couple of shows previously. So to come from just the Earth's ionosphere by itself, no, not even in the ballpark. And then from a charge, electrical charge coming from the nucleus of a passing comet, okay, I'll leave that one, and then also electrical charge of the coma of a passing comet. I'll just leave those to the end because that would be, in my opinion, the correct answer, and I'll say why. Then the D is the question, from a discharge involving the sun's entire electric field out beyond Pluto. No, because the discharges that occur in the overall electric field of the sun are much broader in outer space. They're not that specific. They don't come down and pinpoint a surface, a single point on the Earth's surface. And so, no, I would rule out a discharge or something dealing with the solar wind. And by the way, we have had such things such as the Harrington event, which was a solar flare, but that was a broad-based electrical exchange where the grid system went down, or the grid system, if it happened again, would go down in a wide area. So it's not something that would pinpoint a dot on Earth's surface like the event at Tunguska or from some other energy source, and I already mentioned Jupiter. And even the electric beam from Jupiter is something like the solar wind. It's very broad. It's not something that would pinpoint an area, a single location. And by the way, there was not just one electrical discharge, there was more than one. But the telltale sign was for nights before and nights afterwards, the night sky had a very mild glow. Now, this was not aurora borealis. This is something above the Earth. In other words, people were seeing out into outer space a very mild white glow, which was literally the tail of a comet. And so the end result, very conclusive in my mind, and of course, everything is open to consideration, that it was a passing comet and a connection with its electrical shielding. Inside that electrical shielding was what caused the electrical discharge for the Tunguska event. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.